take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number eight. I thought I had this all figured out. I was enjoying digging in John chapter 6 after last Sunday when I was filling in for Pastor Shelton, preached both services out of it. It was my intention to go back there, and I was doing my reading of some devotionals last week, and I was reading through this scripture, and it just kind of got stuck in my craw. I don't know how else to put that. And so it's been on my mind. I've been trying to study this and try to give you what God's put on my heart. If you found Luke chapter 8, verse number 16, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll read three verses here. Excuse me. Luke chapter 8. And I might have said John a while ago. I'm in Luke. Regardless of what I say from here on out, we are in Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse number 16, the Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." You can be seated. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you, God, for the good truth of the song that have been sung tonight. God, we're so glad that you're still on your throne in heaven. And Lord, we know that that's never going to change. And God, I thank you so much for your love that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the sin debt that he paid for us. And God, the wonderful love. God, we love him because you first loved us. And God, I thank you for the young man that walked the aisle this morning. God, my heart is still thrilled for him. I pray that you'd touch him and bless him. May he grow in your grace. I pray, Lord, that you would touch my pastor tonight. Lord, as he opens up that revival, I pray that you would strengthen him, empower him, enable him, bless that church. God, I pray that you'd help us as we turn to your word. God, all I want to do, Lord, is just try to give some folks some truths from your word tonight. But God, I know that your spirit of God has to enlighten us to these truths. And I ask God that you'd open our hearts and minds that we may be receptive to the word. I pray that you'd help me. God, I pray that God, you'd fill me with your Holy Ghost and with your power. God, that I could accomplish that. Lord, it's not about me. I know without you, I could do nothing. And God, I beg and plead with my being tonight, God, that you'd help me and use me. God, my heart's desire is that Christ would receive all the honor and glory. And God, that somebody here tonight would get help and encouragement as they walk with the Lord. And God, we'll be careful to praise you for all that you do. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As you look at these scriptures, and I've studied this account and the account in the book of Mark, we'll be going back and forth. If we look at Mark's account, it reads something like this: "And they said unto him, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, with what measure With what measure ye meet it, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear it shall more be given. And he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath." When we get to this point, Jesus in the book of Mark has given the power of the sower and the sower of the good seed. And that good seed is the word of God. Now, oftentimes when we come to these truths about the candlestick or the candle, not a candlestick, but a candle, well, oftentimes we equate that to witnessing, which it has more to do with our testimony. But I believe in the context here in Mark chapter 4, it's referring to the truth of the Word of God. And I think about the truth and the blessing we have to have the Word. And he warned us in verse number 24 in book of chapter 4 of the book of Mark. He said, "Take heed what ye hear, for with what measure ye meet it," or ye use it, "it shall be measured unto you that hear it shall more be given." And I want to preach a little bit tonight just on this subject: can you handle the truth? And I want to, when I talk about the truth tonight, I'm talking about the Word of God. I want to give you a couple things about handling the truth. Number one, I want to give you just a brief proclamation about the truth. I have not mastered sermon outlines or putting sermons together. This could be my first point or my introduction. I've not decided yet, but it goes into the message, so you bear with me tonight. But I want to give you a proclamation about the truth. The Bible says a man lighted a candle. I'm glad that we have the truth. I'm glad tonight that we are not walking in darkness. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God. I think about where we have the Word. If you think about it, we have it in our hands tonight. I have a copy of the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. There's things in this life I may struggle with. There's things I may battle with. There may be things I have doubts with, but I want you to know tonight, of all the things I'll ever say, I have more confidence in all of them that I hold in my hand the Word of God. I believe that this is the Bible. I believe that it is authentic. I believe that it is inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. He said in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And it also says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's authentic. That means that the Spirit of God inspired these men. I'm not going to try to explain that, try to describe that, but what I can tell you, it boils down to that every word that went down into the Word of God was God's will and God's plan. There wasn't anything extra added to it. There was nothing left out that should have been to it. We have a perfect canon of Scripture tonight. As we look at the Word of God, it's authentic. And I'll say this while we're here. We are Baptists. We are Gateway Baptist Church. We stand on the King James Bible at Gateway Baptist Church. I don't stand on that because I'm ignorant. I am ignorant, but that's not why I stand on it. I think about this. I will give you just a couple things about this King James Bible. One, I believe it's a Baptist Bible. When you look back at the origin of the Alexandrian text, that's those that Westcott and Hort found, some people say, in a trash can that was started. I wish my mind is going blank to try to start thinking the man's name that started that Alexandrian college there in Egypt. He was a predecessor to Origen. What happened when Constantine had that great vision, by this we conquer, he wanted to unite all the religions of the world in the Catholic Church. That's what that means. He wanted to come together. He said the first thing we need is a Bible, one that all the people will rally around. He sent for these, and these rascals at that Alexandrian college didn't even believe in the deity of Christ. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. Didn't even believe in the blood atonement. And that's what men accept. That's where these other versions stem from. We take the Bible. Our accepted text is a Textus Receptus. It was found in Antioch. Now, that's interesting. Rome wanted a Bible they sent to a pagan college in Alexandria. What a novel thought that a text will be found in Antioch, where they were first called Christians. That's where my Baptist forefathers came about. And I'm not ashamed tonight. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to blacklist. I'm not going to shun other people that may use another Bible. But I'm going to tell you what, this is the one. This is God's Word, preserved Word to the English-speaking people. I stand on the Word of God as authentic. I stand on it as authoritative. I want to tell you tonight, 1 Peter 1:23 says it is the Word of God. I'm glad I don't have just Preacher Stewart's word. I don't have Pastor Shelton's word. I have God's word. How great is that word? In Psalm chapter 138, verse 2, God said that He put His word above His name. I'm glad that we have a great book. It's authority, but I want you to know that it is accurate. It is the Word of truth. It's accurate historically. It's accurate scientifically. It's accurate theologically. We know everything about God that He wants us to know. This isn't everything there is to know about God, but it's everything that He wants us to know. I can know the mind of God through this book. We as Baptists accept this Bible as the final rule of faith and practice in all things. You say, well, what should I do? What does the Bible say? That's the best answer you can ever give. I stand unapologetically. I stand unashamed on this blessed book. I look at videos and I glance at books sometimes and I see these textual critics. They try to pick this Bible apart. I don't know how in the world they can have enough faith to be saved because there's not enough Bible left after they get done to do it. But I want you to know in your lap, in your hands, on those sacred pages, thank God is everything that we need and everything that it takes to get the job done. I don't need a gimmick as a preacher. I don't need a balloon. I don't need a clown nose. I don't need a dance. Thank God I've got a book that is powerful, authentic, and authoritative. Thank God for the Word of God. But I have it in my hands. Thank God it's a spiritual book. I got it in my heart too. Amen. I'm reminded in Romans chapter number 10. We know those verses in Romans chapter 10 or 9. We say if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, there's another verse right before that. But what saith it in verse 8? The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. I'm glad that I have been invaded by the word of God. I got it in my hands. I got it in my heart and I can get it in my head. Amen. I have been Bible washed in my brain. Amen. And that would do us well. We all need that. But I think about handling truth, that proclamation about of the truth. But look at verse number 16 of our text. One more time back in Luke. Bible says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter may see the light. I want to talk to you just more about possessing the truth. What do we do with this treasure? I'm talking about handling the word, handling the truth. You've got a hold of something in your lap tonight. Somebody called it that M1611. I don't know, but you've got a powerful, powerful tool in your Bible. Let me say this looking at our text. He says not to hide it under a vessel or under a bushel or put it under a bed. This book is not to be suppressed. I mean, we try to hide things. It's not to be hidden in our lives. Think about these words, under a bushel. That bushel is a measurement, and it tells me there's things there that can hinder this book from shining through in our lives. One thing, that measurement speaks of money. It speaks of business, commerce, or employment. That tells me we can get so busy in our lives and our livings and our jobs and even our priorities that we can suppress the Word of God. Let the Word of God have free course in your lives. Let it be the guiding star, the guide of your life. But it's under a bushel, but then it says it's under a bed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Just in my own common vernacular, I think of lighting a candle and putting it under a bed. Now, there's some things, places things don't belong. Now, as I read this, Brother Crisp, it'd probably been good if you hadn't been here for me to tell this story because it's about the mission office. But yesterday was Mark Wooker's birthday. And a couple of years ago, he had a fire smoke detector that was going bad. You know how they operate. Beep. Beep. Just enough for you to know it's there, but not find it. Well, dear Mark Wooker, the dear brother he was, while Brother Jeff was still there in the office, I helped. I conspired. I let him in. I let him in the office, and they had a shredder that was on wheels. And he rolled that thing up and he screwed that smoke detector to the bottom of that shredder. Jeff went into his office and for about a week he went out of his mind. He was I had to go in there and help him look for it. I know y'all didn't think I had it in me. I would go in there and help him, keep my cool and go out and cry laughing and call Brother Mark and tell him. Jeff looked for weeks. Beep. He couldn't find it there. It didn't belong there. Amen? We told him about 8 months later what happened. He said that bunch of knuckleheads down there would easily put a smoke detector under that thing. Don't they know smoke rises? I thought, that man ain't the idiot, brother. But it don't belong there. And when you put somewhere it doesn't belong, it can get a little dangerous. Amen. I think of putting that candle, a lit candle, under a bed. I thought bed speaks of leisure or pleasure. I want to tell you, the Word of God needs place in your life. And there's nothing that should replace it. There's nothing about your life, nothing that you ever do, nothing that you ever participate in that should suppress the Word of God. I could start trying to echo commands of Scripture and truth in the Word of God. Sometimes there's warnings that come out from the Word of God, and we just try to get busy, and we try to suppress it, and we try to hide it in the back of our minds. You can't hide it. That book cannot be suppressed. I want you to know that book, a candle is to be seen. He said, you don't put it under a bushel. You don't put it under a basket. You don't put it under a bed. You take that candle and you find a stand and you put it in a dominant place, a visible place where that light can shine and be seen all over the house as a bright light. I want you to tell you, even as a church, man, if you're going to preach, this is a center point of your preaching. It's a focal point of your life. This is the vortex. Amen. This is the center point. That blessed Word of God. Fly your flag. Amen. Fly your flag that you're a child of God. Fly your flag that this is my standard. This is my code of conduct. This is what I live by. I'll tell you this. This is what I'll die by one day. Amen. This is what I'm trusting in to take me over. But it's to be seen. Fly your flag. I'm reminded. Just look at this reading the other day. I think of Martin Luther. The 31st of this month, it'll be some 500 years since he went to that church there in Wittenberg with those 95 theses against the indulgence of those priests of the Catholic Church. And he walked up to that door and he nailed it on the door and left it there. Now, when I think about that, I've not studied a lot in history. You want to think we snuck up there one night in the dark. If the commentator I was reading about the other day, he went up there on All Saints Day when everybody was around. He didn't try to hide it. He took his complaint and he nailed it out. He did not hide the fact that he was a Bible believer. He didn't hide the fact that he didn't agree with them. I think of other situations, the stupidity that took place in our nation last Sunday, when all those football players decided that they weren't going to recognize the playing of the national anthem or our flag. By the way, there's no NFL at the Ramsey House, amen? But I'll tell you this, I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They stayed in the locker room. They didn't want to make a statement, but one man, that tackle, Vela, you had to help me, Bill, Villanueva, he walked out to the end of that tunnel onto the field. He was a decorated Army Ranger. Didn't care what all the other players on that football field did. He stepped up and he put his hand on his heart. He was not ashamed. He wouldn't bow to that. How do you show it? How do you show it that you handle the Word? How do you show it that you want this book to be seen? You want it to be visible in your life? I think of Matthew's account of this in Matthew chapter 5. He said this. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to them that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to tell you, you want it to be seen in your life, it's seen in a testimony and a godly and a biblical life. You ought to glow with the truth of God on you. Why don't you do that? Because the Bible says it's wrong. Why do you do that? Because the Bible says I ought to do that. Why are you against that? Because the Bible's against it. Why are you for that? Because the Bible's before that. That's what Christians do. I want to tell you something. I've mentioned about the Catholics and the other Bibles, and I keep saying Baptists. You don't know how many of our Baptist forefathers down through the years of time died for this Bible, died for the truth of regeneration only by the blood, by grace, through faith alone, not by baptism. They wouldn't bow to some church head. They wouldn't bow to some reformer. They only bowed to the God of this Bible, and they gave their lives for this book, and they weren't ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your Bible. Don't bow your head. Don't cower when they start making fun of God and making fun of the Word of God. Oh, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first, first and also to the Greek. In 2 Timothy, last book Paul pinned down before Nero had him executed, as he was in jail, in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Unashamed in the jail, Paul and Silas, after they had been beaten, were not ashamed in jail. And what little persecution we face, just a little mouth, just a little turning up the nose, that's all we've got against us, and we're going to cower. Stand, possess this truth, hold it high, hold up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're walking under a flag tonight. My Bible tells me to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free, and be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage. I know in its context, that's talking about legalism and adding works to salvation. But I want to talk to you about just in principle application, what God saved you, walk in it, live in it, and stand in it. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think about the power of this truth as we go on in verse number 17. Bible says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad." So we see what Mark says. He said, "For there's nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither anything kept secret, but that should not come abroad." I think of the power of this word. I want you to know that it enlightens. Those words manifest and make known. Now there's a positive side to this. It enlightens. You know, in our society, there's people that go to college, have college degrees, have more letters after their name than the alphabet or a can of alphabet soup. They don't know where they came from. They think there was an explosion one day, and then two amoebas rubbed together, made a tadpole, made a frog, jumped up in a tree, become a bird, started swinging by its tail. But you know what? I'm one up on them. I have been enlightened by the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven in His own image. I know what God ain't. Amen. I know that He's God. I know He's not a monkey. I know that about the past. I know where I came from. But I think of how it enlightens in the present. I know what I'm doing here. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I don't know how to deal with things. But oh, thank you, I'm not stumbling around in the dark. I thank God that God promised, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." You know how God speaks? Sometimes He'll use a preacher. Sometimes, which when you open up the blessed Word of God and you're reading it on your own, I'm glad we have a voice. Hallelujah. We have a Word of God for yesterday. We've got a Word of God for today. Amen. I'm not floating around. I'm not wishing, hoping, maybe. Thank God I have a guide for today. But you know what? I know what the future holds. That's what this book tells me. I'm thinking about last week, last Saturday, the world was supposed to end. That planet was supposed to crash into the earth. We're supposed to all been gone. Well, we knew that wasn't going to happen. We done read the back. We know how this thing's going to end. The earth is not going to be blown up by another planet. The Lord's going to come. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. Then He's going to call those lost dead up to the great white throne judgment. While that's going on, the earth's going to be burned and melted away with a fervent heat. And then we're all going to live happily ever after in the presence of God. Amen? I know that. I don't have to say, "What do you think? What do you think? What's your opinion?" I don't need your opinion. I got God's Word. Well, how about that? There's so many opinions going on out in the world about politics and everything else. I don't need an opinion. I have a final authority, and it is God's Word. Thank God. I don't know if I handle this or not. I don't know if I handle this or not. It's awful big. It's awful powerful. It makes me think. I was talking to Levi the other day. I never had a hot rod. I had front-wheel drive, straight drives, and they would never do much. Some of these guys talk about it. I remember one time, back in the early 90s, my brother-in-law, he may not know this, I might be about to get in trouble. I was driving their 5-speed Thunderbird, and it had that turbo and all that stuff in it. And I pulled out just like I tried to do my little 2.8 GMC truck, and it brrr, a little bit. I did that, popped that clutch, and did that in the car, and man, the back end outrun the front end. I didn't know what to do with that power. And boy, that book, brother, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's a great book. It's a great word. It enlightens. But you know, it just doesn't enlighten. But there's a negative side to this thing. It exposes. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and his spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This book will get down in there. That's why people don't like preaching the word of God. Because boy, it'll get down in there and it'll deal with them sins. Everybody tells you it's all right. You've got yourself convinced, all right. And there comes that word. Don't look. Don't touch. Don't taste. And that warning comes. That's why we have that mandate in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. This is what it takes. Christians don't need a story. They don't need a play. They need a man of God to get in the book, get down in their mind deep, bring it out, get in a pulpit and plow deep, amen? In and out every pew, in and out of every life. I ain't being nosy. I ain't meddling. I got a book that can find it all. This is a surgical tool. It cuts going in. It cuts going out. It opens it up. It divides. I want you to know I have a book that exposes it. I believe one day when this thing's all over and the judgment takes place, I believe at the great white throne judgment, when God calls those sinners to judgment, I believe this is one of the books that'll be open. There's a record book, there's a roll book, and there's a rule book. And I believe this is the rule book. The Bible says in John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day." You better pay attention to what this book says. You better have an idea. You better be aware of what this book says, because you'll be called in to judge it before it one day. And one thing about that, nothing will be missed. This book doesn't miss anything. Some people say, well, it's not completely clear on this. It's as clear as God wants it to be. If God's dogmatic on it, the Bible's dogmatic about it. Amen. But I'll close with this. Last, I want to look at prizing the truth. Back in our text tonight in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 18, "Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." I want to read Mark's account one more time. In that verse, he says, he said to them, "Take heed what ye hear." Be careful what you hear. Take heed to what you hear. For with what measure, what amount you use it, what measure you meet it, it shall be measured to you again. And to them that hear shall more be given. For him that hath, to him shall be given. And him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Christian walk, there's nobody standing still. You're either gaining and going forward, or you're losing and going backwards. That's the Christian walk. But let's look at prize and the truth. I want you to know that we have a prize before us. I went up sometime last year. The preacher rode to Lynchburg, Virginia, and hooked up with my uncle. He had my dad's books. And he is retired, and I got those books, and I've got a set of commentaries in my office. It was my dad's, and I've really not used them much, because actually the guy there, he's kind of a knucklehead, but they say he's got good background. So I was looking at his background and had that little book out, and I began to look at that little book, and I remembered whose book I had. And I took that, and I flipped over to the front of that book, and there it was. My daddy had signed that book. Now, that makes that very valuable. But I began to look at that. Now, I've not seen my dad in almost 41 years. And I began to look at that and I love my daddy. He's my daddy. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I haven't seen him. I hadn't heard his voice. But I began to look at just that name on that page. Boy, the love, and began to ooze out my eyes and ooze out my heart. And I began to take my finger up there in the front of that book, because it looked like it pressed down real hard. My mom used to say when my daddy wrote, everything in the house shook. And I began to see if I could feel the outlines of that paper. And suddenly that word had such a fondness to me. Well, you know, I thank God for my daddy. But you know something? I have another father. And boy, he's written me a novel. He's written me a book. And boy, page after page, I can rub that. And yeah, I just don't feel my love for the word. I feel my love. I feel the love from the author. He gives me instruction and comfort and rebuke. And boy, what a blessing it is. What a treasure. What a treasure we have in this book. And I think I've quoted this before. I've quoted in my Sunday school class, but cultivate an appetite for the Word of God. How do you cultivate an appetite from the Word of God? It's like anything else. You got to have a constant flow of it. I think about that. What do? Seek the truth. How do you handle the truth? You prize it by seeking it. Put yourself where the Word of God is. Put yourself in the line of fire. I want you to know nowadays there is such access to the truth, such access to the Word of God. By the click of your finger on a radio dial, you tune in down here, you can tune into a radio station, hear somebody preach it. You can go on to YouTube and you can pick your preacher. You can go to sermon audio. You hear preachers today or preachers of yesterday. You've got that. You can buy books of printed sermons. You can buy books of all kinds of Bible studies. It's right there at our fingertips. Put yourself under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. You know, I think sometimes I'll go to a revival meeting. I'll go sing in a revival meeting, and it just blows my mind that such a man of God that can is so skilled in the truth of the Word of God can stand and preach. Man, I'll be doing backflips in my soul. How that truth stirs my heart. Nobody's there. I think, man, people ought to be standing around the windows to hear the man of God. There was a time. And nowadays, we don't even want to come to it once at our church. Say, well, I'm not that interested. That's why. You're not investing anything. Get around the Word of God. I dare you tomorrow morning. Switch it over from 106.3 in the Word, or switch it over from 99.9 or whatever that is, or trash, amen? Turn it over and go over to AM, listen to WWOL or WTBI, listen to some good gospel music, listen to some preaching of the Word of God. I wonder, talk about the struggles and defeat in your life, I wonder what kind of effect that had if you cultivate an appetite by seeking the Word of God. Study the truth. Study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. God told Hosea, as Hosea prophesied in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and gave this sad statement, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's a shame of how little of the Bible we know. It's a shame. It's a greater shame of how uninterested we are in the Word of God. This is a fountain. I've said this. I keep saying it. Find you a fountain. You may not know how to break down Scripture. You may not understand about doing word studies. You may not understand how to study the Bible. I mean, you got center. I've got this Scofield Bible. There's center references. There's notes in the back of the Bible. There's others. But I want to tell you, find you a fountain. Find you somebody that breaks down the Word of God, that preaches, and our pastor, others, find you a fountain and drink from that fountain. Get in that book and learn that book. I mean, 66 books of love, 66 books about Him. We don't know anything about God. We don't know anything about His Word. I mean, the average Christian has never even read the Bible through. And the saddest mandate, 85 verses a day, 10 or 11 minutes of reading in a year, and you read this book through. I mean, what did my wife do? She handed me a card or a letter and said, did you like it? And I said, well, honey, I love you, but I didn't take time to read that. Study, it's a treasure, I tell you. There's people in this world that don't have access to the Bible. We support missionaries that smuggle Bibles into countries where it's against the law for them to have a Bible. And to see those Christians, it ain't leather bound. It's just some paperback Bible. And man, you'd think they'd gotten gold. They'll unwrap that thing and they'll begin to kiss it. Thank you, Lord, for a copy of the Word of God. We get it. We throw it in the back of the window of the car and it swells up like a football. We'll pay $150 for a kid's shoe, go to the Dollar Tree and buy them a 50-cent Bible. I mean, where's our priorities? Where are our values? Where's our prize? We need the Word of God. We need to be rooted in the Word of God. But study it. Submit to the truth. It's an investment. Boy, when God, when you're studying that Bible or the preacher's preaching, He gives you a truth, you need to obey it. Because if you don't act on the truth that's been given, God will give you no more. I told him in Sunday school back camp a couple years ago, I think it's Tuesday night, Brother Steve Griffin come and preached. Boy, set the plow down and preached on this, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We had a good camp, but it didn't go much further because we couldn't go to another truth till we dealt with that truth. Boy, obey it. God will trust you with that truth if you obey it, and he'll give more. Obey the word. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. In Luke chapter number 11, in verse number 28, the Bible says this. If God says, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, submit to it. But one more thing, stand on him. Stand on the word. Stand on the promises. When it's a good day and when it's a bad day, when you're sick, when you're healthy, when you're having financial woes, when you got money in the bank, stand on the word. When that one you've been praying for seems like they're getting meaner, like it's getting worse, and God's not hearing it, stand on the word. When it seems like this world's forgotten God and God's forgotten the world, stand on the word of God. Trust it, believe it, stake your soul on this book. That's what you did when you got saved. I've read that verse several times in our text, but he closes out in Mark chapter 4. He said, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. See, if you say, preacher, I just don't know nothing about the Bible. I can't get nothing out of it. Well, how you respond to truth determines how we speak and enlighten you in the future. I'm going to tell you what, you get in this book, according to this text I've read, and you start trying to study and glean from it, and God will give you more. It tells on us preachers. I'm telling you, boys, these preacher boys and men here, we got to get this. If you want something for God, go after it, and he'll give you more. But if you don't go, you're going to lose what you've got. That's the truth of it. I ask you tonight, how are you handling the truth? How do you possess the truth? Do you appreciate the power of the truth? Are you prizing the truth of God? This is first base. This is first base. Every decision you make will be wrong if you don't have something to base it on. Everyone, this is where you base it. You're never going to go any further in your Christian walk past your conversion till you get in this book. This is your food. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. That's where the growth is. It's in the word. Get around the word. I'll start rambling, going on, smoking my breaks here, but handle the truth. Boy, I want it to handle me. You know the statement. It's not how many times you've been through the Bible. How many times the Bible has been through you. Boy, take it serious. When this book is opened, when you open this book, you'd be better off to read a chapter and focus on it and read 25 and not get anything out of it. Focus, revere, love, possess the book. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you, God, for the good liberty tonight. Lord, I feel I've been all over the place in this, but God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that we just don't have to hold it, but thank God it holds us. Now, Lord, I pray that you've spoken to hearts. I pray, God, you'd deal with us. God, deal with me about my attitude to this blessed old book and the great truth that you have given us. Thank you, God, that you loved us enough that you gave us a word. You empowered that word. And God, you've preserved it. Oh, God, I bless you and praise you. And God, you've proved your word. And Lord, I pray you'd take this invitation. Pray, God, your people found strength and encouragement through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand. Scott's going to sing whatever God's put on his heart. God spoke to your heart tonight. This altar's open. You just do what God would have you to do.